You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Hello, carnivorous cranial cracker jacks. Welcome to Good Job Brain, your weekly quiz show and offbeat trivia podcast. This is episode 177, and I'm your humble host, Karen, and we are your collectors of creative canvases consisting of cosmopolitan concentration on your canny and crafty commodity.
I'm Colin.
I'm Dana.
And I'm Chris.
That was from Emily, and she also, I didn't add this in, but she also said, coming at you from Chris Kohler's community of Connecticut.
Wow. Oh. Hey there.
Capital.
How you doing? Yeah.
And we have listener mail. This is from Jim. This is a listener mail from a while ago. So we did talk about a long time ago, Jerry Orbach, late great actor Jerry Orbach, voice of Lumiere from Indeed. Beauty and Beast, and
Lenny Briscoe
from Law and Order.
Was in Chicago on Broadway, I believe.
And he was a baby's dad in Dirty Dancing.
He put her in the corner.
So he famously donated his eyes to New York, to the bank. Sorry, to the organ bank.
Like his literal eyeballs.
Yeah. John Mulaney famously talked about it in his comedy stand-up. I think one of the questions we had was, you know, for any of the eye transplant surgery, or when you donate, or when you receive an eye, how does that work? If you're missing a left eye, can you just shove a right eye?
Yeah.
Did somebody finally answer this for us?
A couple of people did, but this guy, he is a optometrist in the U.S. Navy.
Okay.
Jim, he says, there was some confusion if his eyes were able to be transplanted and bring back vision, or if the eyes were able to switch positions left to right or vice versa. I am an optometrist in the U.S. Navy and can tell you that most of the time the cornea is the only useful tissue from a donated eye. So not the whole eyeball. He says the cornea can be replaced if someone has had a chemical burn or other disease that causes it to become opaque. Transplanting the retina is at this time impossible. So diseases like macular degeneration and glaucoma are untreatable with donor tissue.
Okay.
As for putting a right eye in the left socket, this is also impossible because of the six ocular muscles and the optic nerve wouldn't line up correctly.
I can't say I'm surprised.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
So my theory of just flipping it over would not work.
Right.
Hopefully you learned something about eye anatomy and vision.
I am glad we got legitimate answer
Thank
to that.
You,
this reminds That's me, awesome. did I ever tell you the one about the guy who lost an eyeball?
No.
Well, yeah. I probably shouldn't. It's too corny a joke.
You know, secretly, I love it, though.
I also like groaning about it, but it's like, oh, it's a pun.
Yeah.
And one more fun Good Job Brain related fact. Many people wrote in. I didn't know this. Good Job Brain spirit animal is the beaver.
Sure.
We've mentioned many, many facts about the beaver. Did you know beavers have orange teeth?
No.
Like Cheeto colored teeth.
Really?
Like
really?
Bright orange teeth.
Huh.
Makes our graphic design elements really come together.
Yeah. Good Job Brain orange.
Yeah. Spirit color. Yeah. Why is this?
So that's the thing. Someone tweeted.
They eat a lot of Cheetos.
They just have like photos of it. And the thing is, it took me like a while to like hunt down the reason why they're orange. Like a lot of rodents actually do have orange teeth. But,
okay.
But why? Beavers chew up a lot of wood and they do a lot of like wood cutting. So their teeth are super strong. And that orange is an outer enamel that it's super, super strong. It's orange because it has iron.
Okay.
It's like oxide.
So it's the iron compound in that layer of enamel that makes it super strong. Hmm. So when they're born, they have white teeth and then it grows. And then throughout their lifespan, as they're wearing down the hard orange enamel, it gets lighter.
Interesting.
But yeah, bright orange Cheeto teeth.
That is just cementing their status as our animal now.
Our spirit
color
animal.
Is orange.
For those reasons and more.
The front end of the animal and the back end is just
this treasure trove.
Treasure trove of trivia. Oh, man. Without further ado, let's jump into our first general trivia segment, Pop Quiz, Hot Shot. And we did this last episode, and I'm going to ask Chris to do it again because I get to play.
Yeah, right, exactly. Play. Yeah, you gotta get mixed up in some of these pop quiz hot shots from time to time. So listen, folks, this is how it's going to go. We've got what is looking worse and worse every show we use it. a book now, really just sort of a stack of loose paper out of a 2003 era home game of Jeopardy. However, I usually flip through these books and find a good set of questions for us.
Yeah,
a
you
good
cherry
category.
Pick.
Uh-huh. I do cherry pick because I want to find something that's funny. However, let's just randomize it this time. So, right. Colin, pick a number between 2 and 30.
17.
Okay, great. Dana, pick a number between 1 and 5.
2.
And Karen, why don't you pick either single or double Jeopardy?
Double.
Double Jeopardy. All right. Colin, pick another number between 2 and 30.
24.
24.
Is
Dana,
a magic
1
trick?
Through 5.
2.
Whoa, 2 again. Single or double?
Single.
Single Jeopardy. Ah, discretion is the better part of valor. So that gives me a couple of categories for us. So let's find out what they are. Have you doomed yourself? Or
most
what?
Likely.
Yeah. Category is, it's a big world. It's a big... Oh, no, excuse me. No, it's not because that's because that's single Jeopardy.
Oh.
So, sorry, you don't get to say big world. It's even better. Okay. Category is, let's go online. Let's log
in 2003.
On the internet in 2003.
All right.
This is pre-YouTube.
Yeah. This is pre-YouTube.
It is free YouTube, and here it is.
Here. Oh, no, that's car alarm.
$200 question, your very expensive question. Number one, there's no place like this cozy page. The first page of a website. Colin.
Oh my goodness. What is a home page?
The home page. In the online world, the abbreviation www means this. Dana.
What is World Wide Web?
World Wide Web. For $1,200. Yeehaw!
Oh my
it's
God.
The world's most popular internet directory. Colin.
What was Yahoo?
What was Yahoo? In internet.
My face
hurts. For $1,600. In internet domain name.
Sure.
.gov stands for government. Uh-huh. .net for network, and .org for this. Karen.
What is organization?
What is organization? Finally.
What else could it be?
Organ
donation.
Finally, for $2,000, this type of space is slang for the internet. Colin!
What is cyberspace?
What is cyberspace?
Karen just lost it over here.
Oh my God. Oh,
man.
That didn't age well.
Wow, really putting us on the cutting edge. Yeah.
Time changes quickly.
Pre-Wi-Fi, too.
Okay. Man. That's mom and dad doing AOL dial.
Yeah, like they don't know.
Alrighty. And game 24, category 2, single Jeopardy is decor.
Oh,
okay. Decor. Probably hasn't changed that much since 2003. Here we go.
Okay.
Traditionally, hotel lobbies have these potted trees for detectives to hide behind.
What? Really? For
that's
real?
It says, traditionally, hotel lobbies have these potted trees for detectives to hide behind.
Wait a minute.
I think they're being cheeky here.
No.
What are they? What is?
Maybe it's a reference to some.
Is it like?
Something.
I mean, yeah.
Who was that?
That was me,
Dana.
What is a rubber tree plant?
No.
Okay.
I mean, it's not a palm, right? It's a.
It could be
a potted palm. I guess you can grow them indoors.
So that's your final answer.
What is a palm? Yeah.
Yeah. What is a potted palm?
Oh,
what? Yeah.
There you go.
It's four detectives.
Hold time. On.
They're just being
are we
cheeky.
Look
this
up?
Has to be a pop culture reference.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you think, Karen? Karen doing the research on the World Wide Web. Karen logging into cyberspace.
Are you looking at the most popular
it's
web
just
domain?
It's just a clunky, it's just a reference to
a trope. Yeah, I think it's a trope.
Okay. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Moving right along.
I thought it'd be so cool if it was a one hotel that had a, you know, a real story. Like
they're like, oh, because the detectives need to hide in the lobby.
No.
$200. Shelves on these chunks of concrete that include bits of coal can lend a collegiate look. Remember, the category is decor.
Yes.
Shelves on these chunks of concrete that include bits of coal can lend a collegiate look. Colin.
What are cinder blocks?
Cinder blocks.
Yes.
Did not know that. Did not know they were called cinder blocks. Yeah. They have coals in them.
I didn't know, but why is it collegiate?
Oh, because that's what you do in your dorm.
You make furniture out of cinder blocks and boards.
You just like cinder block plank of wood, cinder block plank of wood.
Oh.
Then you have shelves. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think in the late 90s, maybe that was a thing people did.
We are doing so bad at single Jeopardy.
So I know.
Inserted in a window, it's meant to be seen through. As a room partition, it's not.
Oh, interesting.
Dana.
What is a screen?
What is a screen? Mm. What is a screen? Indeed. $400. Nationality of designer Arne Jacobsen, or the modern style he helped popularize. Karen.
What is Swedish?
No, it is not Swedish. Sorry.
Arne Jacobsen.
Or the...
What is Danish?
What is Danish?
Oh,
indeed. Indeed. And finally, $500. It's all tied up. The name of this fixture that holds candles and lamps comes from the Latin for to hide. It was Karen first.
What is votive?
No.
Chandelier? What is chandelier?
Not a chandelier.
Candelabra.
Not a candelabra.
It comes from the to hide.
There is a word in English that means like hidden away in, and it's very simple.
Oh,
Colin.
What is sconce?
Yes.
What is a sconce?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Good job.
What is a sconce?
What is a scone?
With $5,000, $3, Colin is the winner. I don't know. I have no idea. I wasn't even paying attention.
The World Wide Web.
But yes, the world. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Good job, brains. This week, another Colin Felton topic.
Yeah, straight from the inner workings of my topic brain. I was trying, you know, we've talked in the past about a lot of human interactions, and I was thinking the one interaction, what's going on around us? There's a lot of, we got political fighting, there was big mixed martial arts fight.
Oh,
I was realizing we haven't done anything about conflict and fighting. I mean, we've talked
about
weapons.
Street Fighter
V's
gonna come out.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. I totally meant that as well.
Oh, okay. Big in my world.
I thought we would talk about all kinds of fighting, and it can be anything from martial arts to using your words. So let's fight!
When I heard this week's topic was about fighting, I was like, what do I know about fighting? And I was like,
you're
not
peace loving,
you know. And then I was like, I just Googled fighters and I saw this thing come up. It's like, why are MMA fighters told not to blow their nose during the fight? And I was like, that's what I'm going
to
talk
about.
You
need to know this. Yeah.
Okay. First, I did not know that MMA fighters are told not to blow.
I mean, first of all, during the fight, right?
Or even between rounds in the
fight. Oh, just at all.
Like, why do you not blow your nose?
Okay. All right. Yeah, I wonder if, like, can we guess before you tell us what the real answer is?
Sure. Yeah.
Something about, like, you know, if you get hit and your nose starts bleeding, but you blow your nose, you might lose more blood. So you want to keep all the boogers in there because maybe they don't keep blood in. Or like your brain might come out. Okay, that's my
guess is my guess. It makes for bad TV.
No.
Huh. I was going to somewhere between those two. Yeah.
Somewhere between it's gross and it's bad for
it. I was thinking, like, I mean, like some sort of health, reason, but I mean, there's blood all over those matches. I don't know.
Yeah.
There's blood. So it's basically, it's this. If you get hit in the face a lot, all the veins and the vessels in your face get broken and in your eye, you know, start swelling a bit. And when you blow your nose, you're putting a lot of pressure on your veins.
Yeah.
It's called a Valsalva maneuver. And that's basically when you, like, hold your nose and you blow really hard in there. Or when you're straight. Yeah.
Like when you're trying to pop your ears on an airplane.
Yes, yes, right. Exactly like that. That puts so much pressure on your veins. And so if you blow your nose and you've had all this damage to your face, your eye might swell shut.
Ah!
And so if your eye swells shut, it doesn't come out.
I thought you were going to say your eye might just pop out.
It adds, like your face, all like the little weakened blood vessel,
Oh, so you now, pop all your blood vessels.
Now you're like, your whole face is swollen and now you're at a huge disadvantage.
Right, right.
If you're fighting.
And then you gotta be like Rocky where he cuts his eyelid.
Wait, what?
Yeah. I never watched the movie.
Yeah. It was in Rocky 2, maybe?
I think it was one.
Okay.
Cut me, yeah.
His eye was swollen so shut. He's like, you can't see, Rock. He's like, cut me. He's like, cut it, yeah.
That was two fantastic impressions, one after the other. You can't see, Rock. Cut me, cut me. It's like, whoa, all right. Man of 1,000 voices.
Yes. And do walk it now.
So that's why the old rule is
don't blow your nose.
In MMA, you can pick your opponents and you can pick your nose.
But don't blow your nose.
No.
One of the things I was researching before I switched gears was the cut man in boxing, which is just really, I'm not a big boxing fan at all, but the teamwork that goes into making a boxer able to fight, like in Rocky, you know, you get a cut, what do? You got to deal with it. So if you guys have ever watched like boxing highlights, you know, if a guy, you know, has a cut over his eye or something, they'll come to the corner and there is a person on the staff whose job is to deal with cuts and blood. Mm-hmm. And they have a couple tools in their arsenal. And one of their tools is literally, it's just a hunk of metal, super cooled hunk of steel. And they just put it on your cut to reduce the swelling and help it kind of close up. They'll put in some chemicals sometimes.
It's like holding your finger under cold water to get the capillaries to close up if you cut your finger.
It's called an end swell.
Hey.
Like, because it ends the swelling.
Wow. So they have to deal with...
And hopefully everything ends well.
They have to deal with cuts, and they also have to cut you.
Yes, they might also have to cut you as well. Yeah. And if you can't stop the bleeding, you know, the fighter can lose the fight because of that. So it's, you know, you've got like... just
because it gets all over your eyes, too. I mean, that's the thing, right? Like, it's when you get punched, the friction of your skin, especially in your forehead, like, it rips.
Yeah.
And you see all the blood covering their vision.
I learned this.
I think that's the vision that Dana's talking about that really puts you in a disadvantage.
Well, like, if your eye is totally swollen shut, you can't open it. You can't see.
I learned cutmen will use Vaseline pretty liberally because it makes the skin more elastic, so it won't tear open as much. I learned that fighters, you know, you can't do too much because it becomes an advantage, but fighters will put Vaseline in their eyebrows to keep blood from dripping down through their eyebrows.
Yeah.
It's bloody gruesome business.
Little eyebrow visors.
Yeah.
Now, of course,
invention
in professional wrestling, where sometimes they want to cut themselves so that blood goes all over their face, they will actually, you know, hide a razor in their pants and like cut themselves above the eyebrow because like it's such a thin kind of layer of skin up there that like you get a lot of blood from a tiny little cut. You can get a whole
and that's controlled
face full of blood.
Yeah, that's like for show.
Yep.
Little goes a long way.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's hard though if you feel like you need to blow your nose but you can't.
Oh my god.
It's like wanting to sneeze and not getting the sneeze out. It's just so frustrating.
Now I want to blow my nose. I don't know what to do.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Well, I mentioned professional wrestling, so let's just forge on with professional wrestling
Woo!
In a segment that I'd like to call wrestlers go to the movies.
Oh, yes.
Everybody goes to the movies.
Everybody goes to the movies. Right. Over the years, many professional wrestlers have starred in feature films. So I'm going to name the movie.
All right.
And you are going to tell me of a professional wrestler who starred in said film.
Right. Yeah!
Right. This is right up Karen's alley.
Yeah. It is.
Well, I mean, I only followed wrestling for you know, late 90s or early
20s. Right.
Yes. Probably fine.
In general, these are films that starred those wrestlers, or at least featured them in a prominent role, rather than like, oh, this guy who was a professional wrestler is in the background.
Extra.
Or whatever. Okay. They made memorable appearances in these films. Let's just say, recent film Guardians of the Galaxy. Karen.
Dave Bautista.
Yes, indeed, and his star-making turn as Drax. Yes.
The Destroyer.
He was so good.
He was great.
Good. He was so good. Yeah.
He was good.
Mr. Nanny. Dana.
Is this Hulk Hogan?
This is Hulk Hogan, yes. Yeah. Has starred in many a film, but Nanny. Was in Mr. Nanny.
And Gremlins.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Tooth Fairy.
Oh.
Karen.
This is The Rock.
This is The Rock.
Dwayne.
This is
Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
As The Tooth Fairy. G.I. Joe the Animated Movie.
Oh. G.I. Joe the animated.
Joe, the animated movie.
So was he
Colin?
Jesse Ventura.
This is not Jesse Ventura. This is a WWE wrestler who was also a G.I. Joe character.
Oh.
So that's another phrasing. Dana.
Sergeant Slaughter?
Sergeant Slaughter.
Of course, indeed. Of course.
Wow, was that a partnership between G.I. Joe and WWE
at the time? I believe so,
yeah.
WWF at the time. Oh, I'm not exactly sure how it all worked out. But yes, he was a G.I. Joe figure.
Of course, that's right.
Yep. Hey, wrestler. The Expendables.
Which
one of those?
Many action film stars. Which one was the professional wrestler?
Right.
Man, okay. Let's just go run Sly.
Mm-hmm.
That was just the whole Barnyard Symphony.
Who was that, Colin?
Triple H?
It's not Triple H.
I was just going to say Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Is not
he wasn't a professional.
No, really. It's a person is most closely identified with being a professional wrestler. There are certain, like, you know, Donald Trump was at WrestleMania.
That's what I meant. He made an appearance.
No, it's Stone Cold Steve Austin. Yes, indeed. Man on the Moon.
What movie is that?
Andy Kaufman one.
Yes. Had a famous feud with a wrestler who played himself in the film.
It's Jerry Lawler.
It is Jerry the King Lawler. Yes. Predator. Colin.
Jesse the Body Ventura.
This is Jesse the Body Ventura. They Live. Colin.
Rowdy Roddy Piper, indeed. May he rest
in
peace.
What is They Live? Is that a horror movie?
It's a John Carpenter parody horror film.
Yeah. He's got the glasses where he can see the secret messages.
Yes. Spider-Man. As in the first Tobey Maguire Spider-Man.
Oh.
Colin.
Was that Randy Macho Man Savage?
That was Macho Man.
Macho Man Randy Savage.
As Bonesaw McGraw. Yeah. He played a professional wrestler named Bonesaw.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Yes.
Cool.
Bonesaw.
Really, really enjoyed himself.
Yeah.
Magic Mike.
I knew that was
Karen. Yeah.
Kevin Nash
was in Magic Mike. That's right. AKA Diesel. The Princess Bride.
Oh.
Andre the Giant.
We hardly knew ye. Okay, finally. I'd be so impressed if somebody gets this, but I really just want to talk about this.
Sure.
The Godfather.
Whoa.
You win automatically if you get this.
So here's a question. Was this person a wrestler during, like...
Yeah.
This was a
well-known professional wrestler who then played a role in The Godfather. It was not Marlon Brando. It was not, like, Al Pacino. It was a professional wrestler.
Captain Lou Albano.
I wish he was in The Godfather.
Wow. Okay. Man, you got to place this. What was Godfather in 1972?
72. I will tell you, and I'll tell you the whole story. Karen.
Vince McMahon.
No.
No.
So, the gentleman's name is Lenny Montana. He played Luca Brasi in The Godfather.
I don't know who that is.
He sleeps with the fishes.
Don Corleone, I am honored you invite me here on the day of your daughter's wedding. That
okay.
guy?
Okay.
You're right. So he was a professional wrestler, very well known in the NWA, you know, before, you know, in the you know, 50s, 60s. After professional wrestling, or possibly concurrent with professional wrestling, he actually did some bodyguard slash arsonist work for an actual mafia family. And he talks about this. He said that one of his technique was to tie a tampon to a mouse, dip it in kerosene, light the tampon, and then let the mouse run through a building. To set the building on fire.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Poor
so
mouse.
Actual mafia arsonist slash professional wrestler.
Wow.
Lenny Montana played Luca Brasi. That's yes.
Wow. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yep. Little helpful life hack from Good Job Brain. From
yes.
The mouse, the tampon, and the kerosene.
That
your life
like
will
a great
never be the same again.
That's a, yeah. that's a readily available.
Yeah, it's a BuzzFeed post.
Like clickbait.
You'll
yeah.
never believe we burn this house down.
Please consult your local ordinances first. Yeah.
Well, yes. Yeah. Yeah,
oh my
exactly.
God. No John Cena.
Yeah, he was in Trainwreck.
He was in Trainwreck. Yeah. That's true.
Mm-hmm. And in a bunch
there
of
were, there, I mean, there were a like, lot of many wrestlers have
MacGruber had a couple. We saw
MacGruber. Yes,
by,
MacGruber yeah. was great. That was that had a whole sequence
Big
in
show.
Which MacGruber assembled an Expendables like group of the most baddest ass dudes in the world, and then accidentally blows them all up with homemade C4 after the extended montage of him assembling them. And it was guys like Mark Henry and some other. Awesome. They were all wrestlers.
Yeah.
Nice.
Nice. Well, I have a quick quiz about fighting. Of course, first thing that came to my mind is martial arts. I grew up with all the gems of Chinese and in Hong Kong action movies of martial arts. So, of course, I made a quick quiz about just random grab bag of Asian martial arts.
The movies or the actual martial arts? Everything?
Could be both.
Oh,
could be both. Yeah.
All right.
Some Ninja Turtles in here, too.
Okay.
that traditional Asian martial arts,
sure,
the
sure.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
You yes. know. Yes. All right. I'm going to have you guys, let's do a write down quiz. I'm going to have you guys write down these answers.
Oh, one more post-it.
You know, I almost did, you know how I used to do the 30 seconds on the clock challenge where you try to list as many blank
yeah,
as I
yeah,
say?
Yeah.
And I was like, I want to do a fighting games character one. And I was like, that's not going to be fair.
It's not
no. That's not going to be
it's
fair.
Gonna
it's going to be a Pokemon round all
right,
over again.
Right,
right.
Right.
Yeah.
Pooter, pooter, pooter. All right. Question one. So Shaolin Temple, one of the major base in school and a tradition of Kung Fu, and they had five original concept styles of Kung Fu that were inspired by animals.
Huh.
Can you name all five?
Whoa.
If you watch Kung Fu Panda.
Say it again. It's
five animal styles.
Five animal styles
yeah.
of, all
right. of Shaolin. Style Kung Fu. If you watch mm-hmm. Kung Fu Panda, they actually have the characters, the animal characters, yeah. but not all five of them are the five original.
There's only like one that I'm even partially confident.
This style.
All right. Okay. Oh, that's right. good. Okay. Five. Yes.
Five of them.
All right.
There is one mythological animal, right. but I'm sure you guys will get that one mythological animal.
Just
oh,
checking.
Really?
Yeah.
What Chinese mythical
animal?
Gotcha.
Fishing.
Can you think of?
Sure.
It is.
Yeah.
It is the Sphinx. No, I'm kidding. Okay. All right. Answers up. Chris.
Tiger, monkey, zebra.
Zebra doesn't listen.
Ram.
China. Zebra
and then you
Africa.
Talked about mythical animals, so I put dragon.
Dana.
Tiger, snake, crane, monkey, dragon.
Oh, I have a tiger, snake, crane, water buffalo, and dragon.
Oh,
it is the five original. Okay. Tiger.
Okay.
Leopard.
Oh.
Crane.
Okay.
Snake.
Okay.
And dragon.
All right. Okay. So not monkey.
Not monkey.
Not monkey. But so throughout the years and decades, and Shaolin Temple started in what, the 1300s in the Ming Dynasty, a long time ago. So as that school progressed, there are more animal styles. There's deer style. There's monkey style.
Oh, okay.
And panda style?
There is actually no panda style. Oh. There is bear style, but no panda style.
Oh, yeah. I actually had bear written down and I crossed it out.
But that's not one of the
original. But it's not one of the original.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Now it's expansive list, but those are the five. Tiger, leopard, crane, snake, dragon,
I figured there'd be a lot of overlap between tiger and leopard.
Yeah. And I think certainly if you're in America born anytime in the last 35 years, you know Shaolin from either Kung Fu Panda or the Wu-Tang Clan.
Shaolin soccer.
Yes.
All right. We mentioned this on our last episode, but I'm going to ask it anyways. What movie released in 2010 caused some localization controversy due to its title?
All right.
Released in 2010 caused some localization controversy where?
Due to its title. Just awareness.
Just in general?
Yeah. All right, answers up. Is
it The Karate Kid?
The Karate Kid.
I wrote Kung Fu Hustle. I would have changed it to Karate Kid.
It is The Karate Kid. Yes, supposedly the remake.
The Jaden Smith, Jackie Chan version.
Yes. The 2010 version. So it's called The Karate Kid. A remake of the original, the 80s Karate Kid with Ralph Macchio and what's his face?
Pat Morita.
Karate is Japanese.
It is.
Yeah. And Jackie the Jackie Chan is Chinese. It's also, the whole movie takes place in China. Where Jaden does not practice karate, but practices kung fu.
Yep.
Yeah, that's why it was renamed in Japan as The Best Kid. And the Chinese title is a Kung Fu Dream.
Hey, there we go.
Oh, that's a nice
There we go.
Yeah. At least it's accurate somewhere.
Yeah, yes. Not in America.
That's not accurate.
But karate... Japanese, Kung Fu, Chinese.
There's I watch a lot of Sesame Street now. I don't know if you guys know this about me, but I watch a great deal of Sesame Street.
Without
my child. Yeah, when he's home and says, there's a Cookie Monster parody called The Biscotti Kid. and once he gets the belt, which is a black and white cookie with a yin yang symbol on it.
Okay.
At the end, they're just like, "You are now known as the Biscotti Kid until someone replaces you in the sequel or the remake."
Oh, wow.
I love Sesame Street.
Sassy. Sesame Street's pretty good.
Sesame Street's great.
Karate, fun fact, originated in Japan, but specifically in Okinawa. In Okinawa.
And it means
that's where they go.
Empty orchestra.
That's where they go in Karate Kid Part 2. They go to Okinawa.
Actually means open. It means empty hand.
Yes, I know. Oh, yes, okay. Yes. That was. I was winking very hard, but yes. In case that didn't come across.
Karaoke, karate, empty orchestra. Okay, I need you guys to detail inventory weapons list of all four Ninja Turtles.
Oh, okay.
From the cartoon.
Okay.
It differs in the comic, but tell me. How many of what weapon they have?
Oh, I see.
Man.
Whoa.
Okay.
Is it a pair or is it just one?
Interesting.
What do you call those forks? Just to brush up on our TMNT, there's Leonardo, there's Raphael, there's Donatello, and there's a lovable Michelangelo.
It's tough.
Uh-oh. Let's do a weapons inventory list.
Ooh.
All right, answers up. I'm just going to have you go. Okay, Donatello, he has
the bow or staff.
One bow from Chris.
Stick from Dana. That's fine.
Bow one for Colin. Correct. He has bow staff. Michelangelo.
Nunchaku, two.
Nunchucks, two.
Raphael, he has
stabbers.
I'm gonna go with that. Yeah.
Okay, but two sides.
Yeah, pair of sides. All right, the tricky one, Leonardo.
He has a katana. I put two because I thought he had two.
Dana
said blades.
How many?
Two.
I put one sword, so I have no wiggle room for myself. Right, although I know traditionally they would have like a long sword and a short sword.
I don't know.
So in one version of the comics, there is a long sword and a short sword.
Yeah. Okay.
The cartoon, he has two katanas. At first, when I was thinking it blankly, I was like, I think he has one katana. But he has two. Two crisscross on his shell.
Makes sense.
Which is weird because his shell's curved.
So Donatello has the one staff.
Yeah. Yeah, so Donatello's the only one with one weapon.
You're right, that doesn't make any sense. The shell's cursed.
The shell's cursed, so how, so does he
have... how are they crisscross on
exactly.
They would only, the shell.
They would only tangentially meet the shell at, like, one point.
And, at the top, and it just sticks out.
Right.
Yeah, doesn't make sense.
It's super awkward to, like, get on the subway.
All right.
What if it goes inside the shell? Like, his back is not
That's his body.
The...
Like, that's... No.
This is not slice his body.
Yeah.
A bonus point, you don't have to write this down. Does anybody know Shredder's real name?
Yes.
What is it?
Chris is almost offended that you asked.
Yes, I know. Of
course. Yeah. Think about
I have. I don't. I don't
What's
know.
What's his name?
Oroku Saki.
Yes.
All right.
Good job.
I was gonna say Gene.
And that's why he's so mad. It's a boy's name.
Gene.
Gene.
All right.
Gene,
okay. Next
Gene
question.
Edith Shredder.
In this Asian martial arts grab bag quiz, Bruce Lee. Famous icon.
Yep.
What city was he born in?
Okay.
Bruce Lee.
Hmm.
Cultural icon, helped popularize, bring the art of kung fu. Played Kato and Green Hornet.
Okay.
Looks awesome in a yellow jumpsuit.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a... Guess.
All right, here we go. Chris says Shanghai. Dana says San Francisco. Colin says San Francisco. It is San Francisco.
Yes.
Yeah, I knew he grew up in America, but I didn't know if he came over like
born in America. From very affluent and influential family. Spent when he did come back to America, he settled up in Washington, in the Seattle area, which is where he is buried.
And he was a small-ish guy,
A small guy. I mean, yeah. But then when, you know, he's in his little yellow jumpsuit or topless, you're like, wow, those are all muscles.
Yeah.
Those are all muscles. Of course, his size is even, like, kind of exaggerated when he did that fight scene with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Right.
Who's, like, he's as long as his leg.
Yeah.
All right, last question. Another celebrity. Celebrity question. This is it. What celebrity couple, so two names I'm asking for.
Okay.
She has a Taekwondo first dan black belt, and he has worked as a director and producer once for WWE. They now provide voices for the Star Wars animated series Rebels.
Celebrity couple.
They're married. She kicks ass because she's got a first dan black belt in Taekwondo. He kicks ass because he worked for WWE, and now they both work as voice actors for the same Star Wars show.
Huh.
Oh, wow.
He was a wrestler or no?
He worked as a director and producer. He's a big fan. Big wrestling aficionado.
Huh. No. Are these people you think I would know who they
are? Oh, yeah. Here's a clue. Really? There is a really good reason why she has a black belt in Taekwondo. Very 90s-centric couple.
90s?
They met because they were both in a movie, in a 90s movie.
Oh,
all right, answers up. Chris says Hillary Swank and Mr. Hillary Swank. I know. I like where you're going.
Yeah,
you're like,
yeah.
Oh,
there's a reason.
She perfected her role or something.
Indeed, yeah.
Colin,
I was going to go Hillary Swank and whoever she's married. I have nothing. I have no good
Dana,
guess.
You said.
So that's why I was asking about the divorce. I was like, Jennifer Garner and Ben Affleck.
Oh, from Daredevil,
because
maybe?
She
was Elektra.
Yeah. Okay.
40.
It is Sarah Michelle Gellar and Freddie Prinze Jr.
Really?
Huh. Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Yes, she has a first dan black belt in Taekwondo.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know he was a director.
He is a big wrestling fan and worked for some of the pay-per-views and specials and directed and produced a couple stuff.
I think I knew that from you telling me
I think I've talked about this on the show before. And funnily enough, they both are voice... he has a super major role in Rebels, which is the more recent... Star Wars cartoon animated series, and she is the Seventh Sister, which is one of the guest characters.
I did not know that.
Yeah, so it's weird that they're both on. Yeah.
And they were in, what were they in together? They were
I Know
in,
What You Did Last Summer.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
She had a cameo on She's All That.
Okay.
Did she?
Yeah, she was in a lunchroom. It was for one scene, and she rolled her eyes. And I only knew that because I saw that 3 days ago.
Okay.
Well, good job, you guys. Let's take a quick break. A word from our sponsor.
Are you looking for a podcast that your whole family can enjoy that asks the deep philosophical questions like, do trees fart?
If you are, then you'll love Tumble, a science podcast for kids. I'm Lindsay.
And I'm Marshall. Join us as we explore stories of science discovery, From butts to animals, dinosaurs, astronomy, and everything in between.
You'll love these stories, and you'll learn something new.
Find and follow Tumble Science Podcast for Kids wherever you get your podcasts or at sciencepodcastforkids.com.
Hey, Matt, did you know that wombats poop cubes?
Nope, never heard that before.
Did you know the unicorn is the national animal of Scotland, Ken?
I didn't know, nor do I care.
Neil, did you know that Liechtenstein is the only doubly landlocked country in Europe?
Jeff, isn't that an American pop artist?
Well, actually, it's both. If you want to learn things like that and more, join us each week on Triviality, a pub trivia-style game show podcast where a lack of seriousness meets a little bit of knowledge.
Listen in each week to answer general knowledge trivia alongside exciting guests from around the world.
And we're here too.
Join us every Tuesday for new hour-long episodes of Triviality, plus tons of extra theme content on everything from The Office and Lord of the Rings to science and geography.
And sometimes we even do sports.
Find us on all your preferred podcast apps and take part in the fun of playing bar trivia without the need to wear pants.
Real mature, Jeff.
Forget it, Neil. It's Triviality.
Welcome back. You're listening. Good job, Brain. This week we're talking about fighting. Them fighting words.
So that's funny you said fighting words, because I actually have a quiz called Fighting Words. And it's about multiple meaning words. There are a lot of slang words about fighting that are loaded with lots of meanings. I'm going to give you a definition for the word, and then you tell me what the fighting word is.
All right.
Got it. Okay.
So for example.
Yeah, give us
an
example.
Here's an example. A drink made with fruit juices, sodas, spices, and sometimes liquor.
Punch.
Is a punch.
Ah.
Most of them will be easy.
Okay.
There's a couple weird ones.
I was like a sidecar? You
know, yes.
No.
Punch.
Lightning round. We'll go fast.
Okay.
All okay. Right.
A tough-skinned terrestrial mollusk.
Tough-skinned terrestrial mollusk.
Typical.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Oh,
a slug.
Slug.
Yes.
Yes.
I was thinking, okay, someone with a shell.
I was like, conch.
Yeah.
The one coconut crab.
Nice. On the social networking site Facebook, attract the attention of another member of the site.
Oh.
Chris.
Poke.
Yes. A type of popular music of U.S. Black origin in which words are recited rapidly and rhythmically. Colin.
Rap.
Rap. Mm-hmm. A garment for the foot. Karen.
Sock.
There you go. You got one.
Sock somebody.
A short printed or written diagonal line typically separating characters or figures. Chris.
Slash.
Oh, but that's not the one I was thinking of.
I was thinking slash
too. That's what
too.
I was thinking too. Read it again.
A short printed or written diagonal line typically separating characters or figures.
Not slash.
Stroke.
Oh, stroke. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
A container with a flat base and sides.
Box.
Box.
Ah.
These are so silly.
Cylinder.
So I was thinking cylindrical too.
Right.
Yeah.
I was like a bowl.
A device, typically flexible or worked by a spring for holding an object or objects together or in place. Colin.
Clip?
Clip.
Sure.
You clip somebody. Okay.
The end part of a sleeve. Chris.
Cuff.
Cuff. An obstruction blocking a hole or pipe or something else.
Blockage.
Plug.
Oh.
Nice.
Last one. To play jazz or rock music in an unrestrained style. Karen.
Jam.
That's not the one I was thinking of.
But I don't think jam is fighting, though.
To play jazz music in an unrestrained
style.
Style.
Free.
Not riff, no.
Riff is good.
Boogie.
No, to play jazz music in an unrestrained style. It's not jam.
You know, like those old-timey cartoons would talk about that sometimes. Like they talk in the old slang of the day. The jazzy.
Yeah.
Jive?
Blow.
Oh, to blow.
Like
to
blow.
Sure. Yeah.
Huh. Yeah.
All right.
That was good.
Good job, you guys.
That was good. So if you guys were to compile a who's hot list of the founding fathers today, right now, number one would probably go to Alexander Hamilton.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think so.
Well, of who's hot right now?
Yeah.
Oh. I thought you meant like by looks. I was like, how do you guys know what they look like?
Yeah, he might be number one on that list.
Yeah. Popular.
Okay, got it. I was in my head, wasn't hot or not. Yeah.
But yes, in case you don't own a TV, read the news, or know Karen Chu, Hamilton, the musical, I think has made him pretty close to a household name again, at least here. So Karen, I'm hoping as we go through this segment here, you'll be able to back me up, fill in some details,
because
I know that you are well acquainted with the Hamilton musical and that you've done a lot of
research. What is your segment about?
I am talking about one of the most important and consequential fights in American history. Of course, the duel to the death between Alexander Hamilton and his rival Aaron Burr.
The beef.
Yeah. The beef.
Quite a lot of beef.
This was huge beef, yeah. Mm-hmm. So Alexander Hamilton, in case you are unaware, he was not a president, but he was a very important figure in the early days of our country. Treasury Secretary, founder of the Federalist Party. He's also on our $10 bill, although he didn't know that at the time. And importantly, he had a very, very extremely contentious history with Aaron Burr. Did not like each other, rivals in every sense, undermining each other, backstabbing, political scheming. They, of course, beef got to such a point that they had a duel, shooting duel, and Alexander Hamilton died from the injuries in that duel.
Yes. If you grew up in America in the early 90s, you probably heard it in the Got Milk commercial, the very, very famous, the guy's eating peanut butter, and there's a radio call-in contest to identify the person who shot Alexander Hamilton, but the guy is eating a peanut butter sandwich.
Oh, you couldn't say anything?
And he doesn't have any milk, and he's just like,
he's across from a picture of it in the library.
Oh, right,
like,
right,
you can
right,
see
yeah,
it. He's
yeah,
like...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, I think that was the first Got Milk commercial. Milk. I think it was.
It may have been
is
the
it pre-celebrities?
It was certainly it was aired all the time. Yep. Yeah.
I have to say, I'm a little ashamed how little I knew about this duel. I mean, I knew it happened.
Yeah.
I knew that it was a big deal. And here's where I have to give you a little bit extra information. Karen, you know this as well, but I went to Alexander Hamilton High School. Like, high school was named after this man.
Wow.
And I have to tell you, like, they went all in on the theming. So, like, our school paper was the Federalist.
Oh,
and
wow.
our mascot was the Yankees. And we had a little kind of like fighting fists up version maybe of Alexander Hamilton.
And he should have been at it with the gun.
Right, right. Our
LA.
It was so nerdy. Our honor society was called the Nevians.
I don't even know.
The Nevians.
Because that's where he's from.
Because he was born on the island of Nevis.
Yeah. Wow.
And yeah, they were all in. Yeah. Hamilton.
Wait, did you catch any of that like growing up?
Oh, they had to explain to us why it was called the Nevians. And you know, they would go out of the way to give us a little bit of the Alexander Hamilton history. You know, I don't know if they either didn't tell us much about the duel, or maybe I was just a high school kid not really paying attention. Yeah. So I fell into a rabbit hole about dueling and learned so many things that I did not know.
Oh.
So, you know, rather than a quiz or a trivia history, this segment is just called I Can't Believe I Didn't Know That.
Okay.
So these are some of the things. Karen, you may know these from...
This is how I felt about the molasses thing in Boston, where the molasses like massacre,
like, how
I guess.
Have I not heard about this?
Yeah.
In my whole life.
Why has no one told me...
So I'm going to give you just a little bit of the background on the beef, right? I mean, we could have a whole show on the beef between these two guys. But in a nutshell, the major points are that they were rivals, Hamilton and Aaron Burr, in the early days under George Washington. And when there was a tie vote for president between Thomas Jefferson and Aaron Burr, Hamilton really pushed really hard to give the election to Thomas Jefferson. And Burr just really never forgot this. Yeah. Honor was insulted. They went to fight their duel. All right. Now we're getting to the sections here where it's like, I can't believe I didn't know this. All right. So in 1804, they were both living in New York at the time. They, on the morning of the duel, they rode across the Hudson River to Weehawken, New Jersey, because dueling was illegal in New York.
Of course.
Right. I can't believe I didn't
Let's
know
just
this.
Let's throw a boat over
yeah.
there.
Yeah. I love on the one hand, like, the really kind of gentlemanly, high-minded approach to, oh, we have to obey the letter of the law here before we go and potentially blow each other's brains out.
Yeah. Wrote it, so we may as well honor it, right?
even though it was legal in, you know, New Jersey, like they, people who participated in the duel, like the people, the other people who were there, you know, a lot of people would sort of look the other way, you know, so they had plausible deniability that
right.
they could say, oh, I didn't see any duel.
Right.
You have to have a second.
Yes.
Yeah. And then, yep. and then you have a doctor on site, and all of them. For almost every duel that happens in New Jersey or outside of New York, they turn their heads around. So nobody saw the actual duel.
Yeah. Yeah.
So no one can say who shot, you know, like they can only deal with it when the gunshots were fired.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I had no idea about this level of the sort of winking, you know, legal, not legal aspect of it. And for a lot of these duels, you would talk a big talk and you would accept or challenge, but your seconds sort of behind the scene are trying to sort of smooth things over. They're like, okay, we're going to save face for you guys.
Yeah.
And if your seconds were unable to come to a, you know, a negotiation, you would in fact show up and do your duel. I had no idea about the protocol that went on with the, like, the steps of the
right,
dueling.
Right, you think about it as, like, oh, they dueled, which means that they both, you, maybe you've seen something in a movie where they, you know, turn 100, walk 100 paces, then turn around and fire.
Right.
But it's not as if they just, like, turn on each other and then bang, 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 all the bullets, you know.
No.
The whole thing.
They come out and they have a predetermined distance that they measure off ahead of time. Mm-hmm. You basically, you stand at the distance and you get the command to go. And you have some sort of options. Like, you can raise your weapon. You can fire. You know, if one person misses, it's up to you. You can basically forego your shot if you want to sort of take the high road, or you can go ahead and just open up with the
That's
other guy.
Right, yep.
I did not know how close together they were. They were 10 paces away.
Mm-hmm. Yeesh.
That's like 30 feet.
Right,
I mean,
right.
You could throw a rock and hit the other guy at that distance. I mean, I just imagined... I don't know what I thought. I guess I imagined
like
that there was some reasonable chance that, like, oh, you got to be a pretty good marksman to really have a chance of, but like, no, 30 feet away.
Yeah. Those guns were pretty junky, though. Like,
yeah, true. It was probably still difficult.
I knew that they both fired. Together, their seconds wrote in sort of an after-action report, and there's some dispute exactly over who fired first. There's some dispute exactly over what unfolded, but they each did get a shot off. I didn't know that Hamilton missed badly. He missed 12 feet above Aaron Burr's head.
So there was
and question. There is some question about why and what happened here.
Right.
So what have you guys heard about this?
Well, that he could have A, just totally missed him, or that B, he could have intentionally misfired as a way of trying to bring closure to the duel without anybody getting hurt. Yeah. But we don't really know what he did.
Well, at least some of his contemporaries believe that what happened is it is not uncommon for... First of all, they were using dueling pistols. These are pistols designed for dueling. It's not just whatever firearm you happen to have around. So it had kind of like a two-step trigger. So you can sort of like set it, and then it's got a real simple touch to fire the shot. Mm. Yeah. There's some speculation that perhaps Hamilton didn't realize or wasn't aware how easy it was going to be to fire, that he may have just been raising his pistol and didn't mean to fire, and that's why it was so far off. It's also possible, you know, that thought maybe he got shot and then as he was falling fired his shot. It's unclear, but either way, he missed badly.
Yeah. Hamilton, the musical, like, paints it one way. It could be another way, but from the musical, what I learned, Alexander Hamilton did grow up to become a great marksman.
Yeah.
So for him to miss... It is a little bit strange.
Yeah. And this was not his first duel either.
No. It wasn't. And
So then that brings up the question, like, okay, so could Burr have spared Hamilton? Perhaps. Like, if the shot sails above his head, he could have maybe decided not to. He did not spare Hamilton. He shot him. Shot him in sort of the lower torso area. The bullet lodged near his spine. He didn't die right away, but he was mortally wounded.
Yeah.
The next day after the shooting, reportedly, Burr said that he would have shot Hamilton in the heart if he'd been able to see better, but there was too much mist in the air. So, I mean, he was not feeling, at least expressing any guilt the next day, but he's like, I wish I had killed him quicker.
Mm-hmm. Some historians also say that he was trying to miss, but then it ended up hitting him.
Right.
Like, he was doing the same thing of firing away his
but accidentally
hit him.
Who can say?
And he also wasn't the best shot in his military career.
that he wanted to shoot him better than...
I meant to do that. You're trying to save face at that point. The last thing you want to say to people as a politician is, I was trying to miss, but I effed up and didn't miss him.
You know, actually, I have remorse for shooting him.
Yeah,
you know?
just go all in. You hit him and be like, well, I mean, I wanted to hit him.
Some remorse might have been the smarter move for Burr. I mean, in the long run, he ended up not actually being punished, but he was tried, he was accused, destroyed his political career. It surely did. And as you alluded to, you're right. I mean, Hamilton, incontrovertible, the night before the duel, he wrote a letter basically saying, I don't want a duel. I don't approve of dueling. It's against my morals, but I've got no choice. Like, he's kind of boxed in, you know. Yeah. Here are two things that happened before the duel that I think really informed this. And I'd never heard of either of these events. One, I can't believe I did not know that 3 years before this duel, Hamilton's son Philip was killed in a duel defending his father's honor
at the same place
by a supporter of Aaron Burr. I also found out that Alexander Hamilton was involved in, if not the first, one of the first sex scandals in political history. This is bananas.
American
this
history.
This blew my mind. Yeah, sorry, American political history. Yeah, I had no idea that he had a three-year-long affair with a young woman named Maria Reynolds. Her husband knew about the affair and blackmailed him, Hamilton, basically, and Hamilton paid him hundreds and hundreds of dollars
and
over the years.
And still let the affair happen.
And still let the affair happen. Maria and James Reynolds eventually divorced. Her attorney, Aaron Burr. Yeah. Aaron Burr. Yeah. It was just, these guys were on, I think, just a collision course toward each other. All of these things make this event much more fascinating than I ever thought it was.
You thought it was just two dudes on a hill?
You know, I mean, I knew that dueling was once upon a time a respectable way to settle matters of honor.
It's like such a waste. It's so frustrating. Yeah. Oh my God.
No, but at that time, they knew too. I mean, this wasn't like you're dueling with your glove and you throw it on the ground and you have swords and you stab each other. Like, you know, most duels never made it to the pistol.
It's true.
It's talk, talk, talk.
All of the
motions. All right, whatever.
And we can both agree that we're both going to save face because of some thing that happened and you fired in the air and I fired in the air. And,
It's
the
weird whole, to think, like, in the late 1700s, early 1800s, that like dueling is still a thing.
Yeah.
It just seems.
Yeah.
And they knew it too. Like, you calling it barbaric or whatever, but they still did it because of tradition.
Right. Yeah, just
it's like you didn't become president because not enough people like you. Get over it.
Talk
smack because you are like worthy of smack talk. You're terrible. Yeah. Get out of here.
Right, right.
So in Colin's notes for this topic, one of the things was animal fighting. And he was like, well, that's not great because then all the animals die. It took me a while to find a cool animal fighting thing that is nice to the animal and nice to the humans and just awesome, spectacular event.
All right. Spectacle.
Wonderful.
Feel good.
It is feel good. A lot of these things are not feel good, but I found this one feel good. It reminds me of real life Pokemon. Let me tell you, I found out this thing called the Spider Derby. Where they, instead of, you know, like cockfighting or dogfighting, it's spider fighting.
Oh, geez. Okay.
Yeah, but it's spider versus spider.
Okay.
It's practiced in a lot of Asian cultures.
Hmm.
Okay. But in the Japanese culture, explicitly what you call the Kumo Gassen.
Okay, spider fight.
Spider fight.
Yeah.
is an annual traditional event in a city in a town called Kajiki in Japan. They do it every year for the past 400 years.
Okay.
It's an old ritual and tradition. What it is spider fighting, but these spiders are like celebrities and they're beloved and all the kids love them and people have them as pets. These spiders are called samurai spiders. There's like this whole kind of like revered sense of these spiders. Like they're respected. They're samurai spiders. And they're probably as big as half of your hand. And they're quite beautiful. I mean, I'm sure if you're scared of spiders, it's kind of scary.
Uh-huh.
They're black and they have a beautiful like yellow and white striping on their belly, on their abdomen. Every year, the kids would bring their spiders, or families or grown-ups would bring their beloved spiders for the spider fight. And what happens is the fighting portion, it's actually pretty simple. So there's a judge who's in traditional Japanese dress.
Okay.
There is a horizontal wooden stick. So one spider would be on one end. The other spider would be on the other end. The judge will use his hand and kind of cover up in between so that the spiders can't see each other. Then, you know, all pomp and circumstance is like, whoa! And he moves his hand and the spiders see each other. And then the winner is the first one to wrap their silk around the other one's abdomen.
Whoa.
Say one spider spins web around the other abdomen and that trap spider cuts the silk, uh-huh. then that spider wins because it escapes. Uh-huh. If one spider flees, then they just flee, and the other spider automatically gets a win. So it's very loose and simple rules.
Yeah. Now, is this natural behavior or
they do? They're web spinning female spiders. They're a little bit more aggressive than their male counterparts. However, this is the key thing: the judges are super careful to ensure that they're not injured. Mm-hmm. That the spider fights, they stop before anything happens.
Throw in the towel.
Yeah, or they'll rule one winning spider before anything goes south. So, so the spiders are alive.
Cause they're kids' pets.
Yeah, cause they're pets. And seriously, like I was looking through pictures of this festival or this event. They're like kids who like draw pictures with crayons and they love their spiders. It's so cute. And they're like, you know, the pride of their town. And at the end, they would have like different award. They have an award ceremony for like best spider or you know, the round robin tourney, whoever wins the tournament. And they get like a big giant.
Best little, newcomer.
Rookie spider. And it reminds me totally of Pokemon because the thing is in Pokemon, the monsters battle each other. Uh-huh. The monsters never die. They get tired. Okay. Right. So even if you defeat one monster, it just goes back to its ball and it's tired and you have to go, you know, go to the Pokemon Center and revive them or get them healthy or whatever. No spider dies at the hand of another spider or the human. I can't say the same for the other spider derbies I've read about. Usually it's fight to the death. And I'm not a big fan of spiders, but after seeing this, I was like, oh, that's kind of cute.
I wouldn't want to hold one in my hand, but I think I could appreciate this. Yeah.
So some happy animal.
Do you know what's the lifespan of one of these spiders? Like, can you be the grizzled veteran of three battles? Yeah.
These spiders, sometimes they're like, they're just caught. You can buy them, but it's not like a special, you know, breed that
the pedigree.
Invest. Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's no paperwork for the lineage of the spiders.
Yeah. Oh, sired by this champion. Yeah.
Previous champion. Yeah. Wait, Spider lays so many eggs for so many spiders. Oh, all right. And that's our show. Thank you guys for joining me. And thank you guys, listeners, for listening. I hope you learned a lot of stuff about Hamilton, about fighting words, about wrestlers, martial arts, and more. You can find our show on iTunes, on Stitcher, on SoundCloud, on Spotify, and also on our website, goodjobbrain.com. And we'll see you guys next week.
Bye. Bye.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.